Good morning and welcome to ACL Evangelical Sunday Service, and we hope that you had a lovely Christmas day. But we'll start off with some scripture.
This morning's scripture is from Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfil what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Amen. And our first song is Emmanuel. Town of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
And our next song is From Heaven You Came. Jesus Christ, Lord, that at this time of year, Lord, that we have the message of joy and hope, that Heavenly Father, that we have the living proof of Jesus Christ, that he did live as one of us, and Lord, he felt how we felt. He took our sorrows and our burdens as well. And Lord, by the end of his life, Lord, he gave himself freely up for us, and we thank you for that. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray for Graham now as he comes to preach, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning to all my friends at Ainsdale. It's great to be back to share with you this morning through video. Sorry, I can't be there physically, but it's great to have this opportunity. And also to those who will be watching it online, great to be able to share with you. Just enables me to share the good news of Christmas with more people. So thanks for listening. I trust it'll be a blessing. I want to read a few verses from the book of Isaiah this morning. Let me just read a few verses of this great chapter, looking towards the prophecy of the coming of Christ. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in dark distress in the past. He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in future he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice in harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, for fuel on the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That's was recorded by Isaiah 700 years before the birth of Christ. A lovely sense, and there are many more great prophecies in the Old Testament that years and years before Christ came was pointing to his coming. And this particular prophecy gives us some great insights into the greatness of Christ's coming. In here, in its historical setting, it's a time of great gloom and darkness of national life in Israel. It was God was going to judge the nation. And what he was going to do, he was going to allow the Assyrian army, which was a most destructive and evil and cruel army, to come and invade the land, especially that Israel, that part in the north. And it was going to be a terrible time of darkness. And yet, in that darkness and in that distress, Isaiah saw that Christ would come to Israel. And he would bring this great message of salvation to the world. And he's looking at that, he sees it, and he says, don't worry, in all this terrible darkness that you're going to face, in all the distress that you're going through, there's a light that's going to take away all that gloom. And as we face Christmas this year, there's a lot of distress in our nation, a lot of darkness with this terrible virus that has infected the whole world. And many people are in great distress and great darkness. And I just hope that many will turn to this glorious truth that we have here that can dispel darkness and take the fear away. And that's, of course, what the coming of Christ did. So what are just some little truths that I want to bring from this passage. The first one, the coming of Christ is to bring great light to our lives. Remember those words I read, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom. Isn't that great? For those who were in distress in the past, he humbled in the land of Zebulun and in the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee. There's a great prophecy, the area that Christ would come of the nations. By the way of the sea beyond Jordan, the people, listen to this, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the deep darkness, a light has dawned. When Christ came, a light was dawned for all mankind. And it can never be distinguished. First insight of the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world was that he would bring a great light to our lives. John's gospel, of course, brings that out also, as John spoke of the coming of the Lord. This is what he said: there would the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. In him was life. And then it says this, and the life was the light of all mankind. In other words, there's this wonderful description and metaphor speaking of what happens when Christ comes into a life. He brings life and light to our lives. What does that mean? That means he drives all the darkness away. One of the great purposes of light is to get rid of darkness. And there was sin in our lives. There was darkness across the world that sin has caused. And when Christ comes, that light, he drives out all the darkness from our lives. That's what happens to a person when they become a Christian. The sin, the evil, the corruption that's in our lives, the bad things that we've done are driven out by the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, he made that great statement himself, didn't he? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I love that little phrase there that Jesus gave, the light of life. In other words, when you commit your life to Christ, when you decide that you're going to follow him, he does something supernaturally to your life. He puts something in your life. He describes it here as the light of life. You become alive with the purity and cleanness. The darkness goes. And of course, when he was dying on that cross, it was to get rid of the darkness. So he's already done that work for you. He's died for your sin. And he wants to come and live in you. Bring this light into your life. And so the first metaphor of Christ coming is a great light. The second one, his coming brings great joy. I love this one. Becoming a Christian isn't a dull thing to happen to your life. To become a Christian is something that should lift your spirits and bring great joy to your life. Here in this context, let me read it from the verse. It says here, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as a people rejoice at harvest, as a warrior rejoices when dividing the plunder. Isaiah uses two metaphors here. He says, look, when this coming one comes, when this child comes into the world, when Christ is born, he's going to bring great joy to people. And he uses the metaphor of harvest. Israeli harvests were joyful occasion when they'd collected everything in. The barns were full. They had enough provision to keep them the whole year. And then they would have a great party. You think our harvest Thanksgivings was something, the Israeli ones was joy and singing and rejoicing, dancing. They did all of that because their provision had been met. Christ in our life is our provision for all that we need in life. He is the bread of life, and we can have sufficient strength and blessing in our lives when we turn to him. And then the other metaphor was when an army divides its plunder, there's rejoicing. In other words, they've won a great battle, They've got all the plunder that they've taken at the battle, and they're sharing it out amongst the troops, and there's great singing. We've won the war and we've got a great victory. And they're so excited, are those troops. And Isaiah takes that and he says, that sort of joy of victory is yours when you become a Christian. The wonderful thing about the Christian life, and I want to say this very clearly, I want you to capture this, it's a victorious life. God takes natural losers, like myself, and turns us into glorious winners. And when you win, I play soccer, and there's nothing that more I'm excited about is when we win a game. I mean, we win some now and again, but when we win, there's something like coming off that field, and I'm on the winning side. There's something about it. All sportsmen will know that, what it's like to win. Well, when Christ comes into your life, you become a winner. Thanks be to God, who always leads us to triumph in Christ Jesus. You become a winner. You win the battles. Yes, there are battles in life. We all have to face them. Some lose, tragically lose, and get messed up. But Christ turns losers to winners, and there's a joy when that happens. And of course, we know the joy. Remember that great the angel when he came to tell us that Jesus had come, he'd been born, and he broke into those shepherds. Can you remember what he said to the shepherds? Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that listen to this, good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. When Christ comes to our life, when we know his forgiveness, when we know his peace and joy coming into our life, it's a time of great joy. And it should last us through a lifetime. I've been a Christian over 60 years, believe it or not. And I want you to know that this very day, is bringing joy to my life. Why do you get so excited when you preach? Because Jesus is in my heart. Why have you got the enthusiasm? Jesus. Why can you smile when there's all this gloom around us and distress? Jesus. A living Christ, living in the hearts of men and women today. Good news of great joy that shall be, listen to this, to all people. So when Christ comes, he brings great joy. Let me give you the third one. The third truth that this great prophecy points us to regarding the coming of the Lord Jesus. He says this in that prophetic passage in chapter 9 of Isaiah. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. The bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor is shattered. It's broken. There is great liberation. Now that's what Isaiah is wanting to express. A fantastic victory and liberation. And he goes to one of the greatest stories in military history. I believe it's in the Guinness Book of Records. You look at the greatest military victory that has ever been ever recorded in the world. You know what to talk about? You talk about Gideon. What's happened to the nation then? The Midianites, every harvest had raised an whole army of on camels, and they came in and took everything. The land was desolate. The people were starving. And then the next year again, after they'd done it once, camels came again, thumping over the horizon, taking camels, food, harvest, crops, everything there was, making the land absolutely barren. They took everything. Well, if you was a farmer, you'd be sick. But not when it happened the third time. And then, not only the third time, the fourth, the fifth, sixth, and seventh year. And the Midianites were so powerful. The Midianites were so powerful. They a strong army. They had an army of 135,000 soldiers that oppressed the land for 7 years. Then God raised up Gideon, And this is the amazing victory. He used Gideon, and he only used 300 soldiers to beat, listen to this, an army of 135,000. Incredible. What a victory. What? And the oppressor was driven. There were 135,000 killed in that battle. And the army was broken and beaten completely. And they had peace, listen, for 40 years, right throughout Gideon's lifetime. And for 40 years, there was 40 years of peace over Israel. And then, because as I said, you know that story? That's like the coming of the he breaks, he sets prisoner free. He drives back the oppressor. The things that hold our life down. The things that bring us in bondage. Could be drink. Could be pornography. It could be drugs. Many people have got habits that they can't break themselves. But when Jesus comes, this is a greater victory than that day. He can break the power of all bondages that hold our lives and set us free. Listen what it says in Scripture. If the Son sets you free, listen to this, you will be free indeed. I have known guys who've been drinking alcohol and absolutely a slave to alcohol, and they've stopped drinking immediately and never drunk again. I've got friends who've got that could tell you that. They've never, the all power of drink was broken by Jesus. And it's happening today. Wherever the gospels preach is breaking, liberating, setting people free. That's what the coming of Christ means. And then fourthly, Christ's coming brought great peace. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince, what a lovely title. Christ gives peace. When we... Because of our sin, we need to understand this. Because of our sin, we have lost peace with God. God, the Bible said, sin separates us from God. And we have no peace. We have no link up with God. But when Jesus died on that cross, he died to bring us peace. The war that held us. We were made enemies, it says. We became enemies of God. Would you believe that? That's what sin has done. But Christ saw that. He wanted to liberate us, as we've just been seeing. He wants to set us free. And when that transaction takes place, when we grasp that on the cross, he was dying for me, we have a tremendous peace. On the day of my conversion, the thing that I remember the most about it, looking back 60 years, the thing I remember most was the amazing peace that came over my heart when Christ entered my life. The peace of God that passes all understanding came to a guy like me. I remember a friend of mine who was so excited. He was they call it Dr. Allinson, a good dear friend of mine for many years. And he told us a story when he was 11 years old, because when Dr. Allinson was 11, he said, that's when peace came. That's when the war, the World War II, was over. It was over when he was a young man of 11. And he put the radio on and the announcer said, the war's over. There's peace. And he said he was so excited that he ran out of his house and he went right down his street shouting through every letterbox, the war is over, the war is over, the war is over. Listen, when Christ died on that cross, the war was over. We have peace with God when we come there. That's why it's so thrilling. And so that's another great thing why we should be excited this Christmas about the coming of Christ. And Christ came to give peace. There's something else. I just want to bring this to you about the significance of the purpose. We've looked at these great things, great light, great joy, great liberation, and great peace. But there's something more. And I would talk about the significance of Christ here. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and listen to this phrase, and the government will be upon his shoulders. The first thing I want to say about the significance of Christ is that he's come, when he came for us all. There's not one person who's listening to this video can look at me and say, the Lord Jesus did not come for me. Notice that verse, unto us a child is given, unto us a son is given. Christ came for us. When the angel, remember that verse I gave you earlier, the angel said unto him, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. And then it says this, that will be for all people. That will be for all people. In John it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You're in the world, Christ came for you, and he wants to save you. And it's for all people. God doesn't, he's no respecter of persons. He doesn't say, I'm going to bless you, but he ain't going to bless that other guy. And you've never been to church, so you ain't going to get any blessing. No, he's not like that. God is not like that. God is love. And the Bible said God loves the world. That's the cosmos, the people in it. Your life. Now, if you don't get anything else from this video, I want you to get this one truth, and I want it to burn in your heart. God loves you. And Christ died for you because he loves you. And because he loves you, he wants to save you. That's what I want you to burn in your heart. He loves me. He died for me. That when I became a Christian, the one thing that helped me to become a Christian was when I looked to, the guy was preaching away and he was talking about the cross, and it seemed as though the cross was in that room. And I looked up and I came to a truth that has affected the rest of my life. I looked up at that cross and I didn't just see Christ dying for the world, which he did, of course. Do you know, as I looked up, I saw Christ dying for me. I just saw that cross and then I thought, God loved me. Christ hung on that cross for me. It's for all. It's for you. Christ died for you. God loves you. Never move away from that. And I don't think there's a greater insight for becoming a Christian than that. That you understand that you're loved by God and that Christ died for you so you could be saved. Well, that's one of the significant things about it all. Here's another one, who he is, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. That little infant that was born would govern the whole, listen, the whole world for all eternity. Not only the world, but the entire universe. The government is in. So don't get stressed out about what's happening in our world. Don't worry. God has got his hand on it. Christ has got control. It says in Colossians that everything is held together by him. The molecules, the atoms, the things that keep the world buzzing is controlled by the government on his shoulders. What a wonderful person Jesus is. He is the Son of God. God the Son. He is significant, and we need to grasp this sovereignty of Jesus. And he has got the all of history, is controlling history. And as I see that of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it was Simeon, when you remember when Simeon actually met the baby Jesus. And said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. He says, you know, when you share about Jesus, when you share about Jesus, people have a choice. They have a choice to follow him or reject him. Every time I preach, people decide one or the other. You're deciding right now whether you're going to follow Christ or whether you're just, I hope you're going to follow him. Best thing you'll ever do with your life. But you've got to decide. You've got to make a decision. Christ did come. He did die. I've already said that. He died for you. I've already said that. But you've got to choose. You've got to make a decision. And he said, Simeon, holding, he said, you know, what's going to happen with life? Some are going to rise who believe. Some are going to rise right from all the sin into the presence of God's family on this planet. You become a child of God. There's no better status than that. And then you're going to rise one day when you die right into heaven itself. He's a great lifter of men. Christ is a great riser of men. He will lift you up when you give your life to him. The significance of his name. For unto us a child is born, to a son, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let me just finish by saying this, using those words. A commitment to Christ will give you a wonderful counselor. I've been talking about Christ coming into our life. Well, one of the things he will be a wonder, showing you what to do. That's what a counselor's job is, isn't it? To guide you, give you wisdom, advice. Christ will do that for your life. Secondly, a commitment to Christ will bring power. He's called here the Mighty God, the Might of God, the Mighty God. God is all powerful. He is almighty. And he brings his almighty strength into the heart of the believer. How can I live the Christian life? I haven't got a chance on my own. But if the very might of God comes into my life, and it does when I turn to Christ, I have the power to be all that God wants me to be. You can live the Christian life. You can have this power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when you come to that cross, God puts his Spirit into your life. And then the Everlasting Father. That's another title of Christ. You become a son of God. And he gives you eternal life. The day that you come, not you don't get eternal life when you die. You get it when you come to the cross. And then you have it right through life. And then when you do die, you go into eternity with Christ forever. He is the Father, he is the Everlasting Father. And then lastly, we've already had it, the Prince of Peace. Well, all I can say is this, let that light that we've been talking about, that joy that we've been mentioning, that freedom from oppression and sin, that peace that passes all understanding. Turn to Christ this Christmas, this day. That's the important thing. You can come to Christ right now. Just bow your head and pray with me. This is the prayer. Dear Father, thank you for what I've heard. I want to become a Christian. I want to become a Christian today. I want to love you and serve you for the rest of my life. Help me to turn from my sin to my Saviour right now. And help me to live for Christ. And those of us who are Christians, thank you for the strength of God so that we can live the Christian life. Amen.
And our last song is O Holy Night. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for this message today from Graham. That Heavenly Father be with us through this time, Lord. Let you be on our lips when we speak to family members. But Lord, let us go out with joy and hope in our hearts that, Lord, we'll see you soon. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.